So good, yellow.
Guys, it is the episode you have been waiting for. I may do like a 7-minute intro for this guy. He may fall asleep, right? If you've been listening, I think this is the 11th episode of the National Treasure series, right? But a little behind the scenes, the first person I asked was this guy, Dave Marino. First person, I said, I cannot have a National Treasure series without this guy. And what's funny is he kept on postponing. He kept on pushing it off. He kept on telling me later and later. He's like a night owl and I'm not. I'm an old man. He's a young man. And, you know, I mean, so we finally have him. But what's funny is I hope he has listened to or watched some of the shows, because even without him here for the first 10, he's been all over the first 10. Because I asked the same question. It's, who are you going to give flowers to? Not that orchid behind him on the window. Who are you going to give those compliments to? And more often than not, people are giving you the compliments. So it's about time we get you on here. We can find out what the hell it is that you drugged everybody with for them to think you're actually a good guy. Guys, it is shocking. Dave Marino, who I like to refer to as the hobby's social chair. If you are doing an event in the hobby, this guy better plan it, or it's going to suck. Dave, welcome to the National Treasure Series. There you go. Oh, a minute and a half. That wasn't that bad.
I love you. That was some of your best acting work ever.
Get out of here. Dude, make it easy, man. It's fun. I've been enjoying the hobby National Treasures because the people who are on here, they really do make it easy to just have a hobby conversation, talk about the National, you know, what was fun about the National, you name it. I'm going to jump right into it with you, man. How many Nationals was this for you? Is this three for you, or is this more than
three?
Three for you. All right. So this time, a little different than the times before, because the first two you were working with Collectible. We're not going to get into Collectible. I got an episode coming out with Ezra Levine, who used to be the CEO. He's going to answer every question you could ever have about Collectible. He's going to answer them all. I'm just kidding.
I'm happy Ezra got all those questions.
Nothing about Collectible. I asked. He answers nothing. That'll come down the pike at some point in time. Ezra, it's not a National Treasures episode. He's just an episode. Sorry.
Ezra is a treasure.
He's a treasure. He's just a treasure. Not nationally. Just local. He's great a local.
Great hair. Great smile.
When I do kind of like the local treasure series,
like me.
You can be on. You. So tell me, this time around, not for Collectible, what, if you could characterize what you were there as, were you a businessman? Were you a collector? Were you a flipper? Were you an investor? Were you all of the above? What were you at the National this year?
I mean, I was a calorie counter. I think I was doing, I think I was, without exaggeration, 22,000 steps a day.
Yeah. Hey now.
No, I mean, listen, I was there for all of the reasons why I love the National. And this is going to sound like a crock of shit, and it's not. I think that the National brings everyone together. You know, I realized very early on at Collectible that I wanted to build community. I wanted to build shows. I wanted to do what I was good at in my past lives and apply it here. You know, there's you know, 50 different routes we can take this conversation down. And I ramble, by the way, but you know that.
I don't. I keep things right on track. So don't worry.
I think the National was the moment to, you know, in the lead up, convince people that community is important. And that was a very easy conversation to have, I think. You know, everyone realizes and understands that the community is what's driving this industry right now, especially now that, you know, and I said this, you know, earlier in a conversation with somebody, but, you know, he asked me if I was bullish on the hobby. And, you know, my answer was, yeah. I mean, realistically, you know, prices have come down to reality, right? The prices of cards, but people are spending to travel to fly-in shows. People are spending their time going to regional shows. The connectivity, the interactivity, the social aspects of this industry are just getting bigger. And I think, you know, you see Fanatics for sure investing in community with their new events company, eBay, you know, like eBay has been, you know, investing in community since the first mint, you know, Beckett, you know, signed on for the first mint, you know, GTS, like all of these companies realize that, you know, being at shows, being at the points of interaction are important. So I think, you know, for me, it was, I like to create those moments. I like to create those points of interaction and, you know, make people have a good time. And that's what I tried to do.
Listen, I love that. I love that it's become a family affair where, since it's your business now, your wife is watching the credit card spend at the bar. She's watching the guest list. She's the boss. But no, so there's a million ways that we can take this, a million ways. And we can talk about the hobby. There's so much crazy stuff going on in the hobby. We'll talk about the national. But right off the bat, there are people out there who may not know you. I don't know who they are. You know, come out from under that rock, meet Dave Marino. I will give you all the flowers in the world. You can disappear. You went black screen. But you'll come back eventually when I – there you go. So here are the flowers. Right? You are the orchestrator of the cards and cocktails and cards, whatever you want to call it. You know, because some people the cards come first, but for others the cocktails come first. So, you know, if you saw some of the pictures that come out of those events, the cocktails clearly
came first. The cocktails are clearly an important part of that.
So you've done that now. It's three nationals. And, you know, that's your thing. That's your, you know, and you did at the Mint, right? You've done, you know, so, and that is, I love it because it's usually at the beginning, the front end of the national, and it sort of lets people, you know, realize, all right, this is a social thing too. You know, we're out, we're meeting up with people, have a couple of drinks, talk cards, you know, let your hair down a little bit and have fun with it. You know, it's not stuffy. It's not just all business. I don't think there was an event like that at the National pre-you. I think there were a bunch of smaller events. I think that, so I give you flowers for that because people look forward to that event at Hobby Things now. And I think no matter what going forward, that's something that, you know, the National, the Burbank Show, Mint, you know, whatever the big shows, Culture Collision, that's an event that should be at all of them, right? If I were in charge of running the Dallas or whatever it is, I'd be in touch with Dave. I would want that event. Right, because it just kind of it sets the tone for the show in the right way. People know, all right, I can go to that one. This is the fun event. That's one. Two, you open the lid on this. Fanatics is going to be doing events, right? One, should Fanatics just knock on your door, pick up the phone, and call you, and just let you run with it? Or two, no. If no, why no?
Love you, but no.
No,
and it's a different animal.
Why?
You know, What the structure required for what they're going to do, you know, like they have experts that are going to be leading that event, right? And I'm not saying that the people that lead everyday events in the hobby and all the fly-in shows and you know, the national aren't experts because they are, but that's a completely different marketing tactic. You know, that event at its core, and I know nothing, but my assumption is that event is what attracts everyone into the hobby, right? That's the honey for the hobby. That's where you're going to attract all the bees. So anyone that's hobby adjacent, hobby interested, sports interested, you know, or thinks about collecting alternative assets, whatever their angle is going to be, that show is going to be for the hobby, but mostly for them. That's the lifestyle. That's what makes the hobby cool, right?
You know what happens when you bring too many bees into a garden? The flowers aren't happy.
Yeah, well.
So I guess what makes me nervous about it is you could be a pro at events, but if you don't take the time to learn about the hobby, that's one of the cool things about you, man. I mean, you're a hobbyist. You collect, you're a lunatic breaker. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to, like, you know, throw that out there.
Well, hold on. I am a private breaker. I'm a lunatic, wax fire breaker. The only person that's harmed by my break-in is Seth.
No,
because it's all over the apartment. But
it's a credibility thing, right? I mean, you could throw a hobby event because you know the hobby people and you know what the hobby. It's almost like, you know, is it forced upon the hobby that these experts at throwing events are going to come in and throw a hobby event? No,
just saying. I think the goals are what matter here, right? What's the objective and what are they looking to achieve? Realistically, I think that there's a happy medium. I think that there's plenty of people in the hobby that, you know, want that lifestyle aspect, that want to, you know, go to a hobby event, but also see a concert, go to a hobby event and meet athletes, go to a hobby event and have this like unlimited autograph package that includes meet and greets, whatever they're going to do, right?
Yeah.
There's people that want that, but you have to say to yourself, you know, what's the benefit to the hobby, right? Like the flowers and the garden can get really mad, but what if it's just another garden?
Yep.
And then what if that garden grows? And now you have other insects and other bees and other animals. Yeah. And now you've got
out of the garden reference. I mean, I kind of like it, but I get it. But I mean, but I know what you're saying, and you've won me over, because you're right. There's different strokes for different folks. I mean, a big shout out now to JP, so Jimmy Ryan. He's coming in now with Joe Drelich and a new crew who is running the National
and Guard. Brian.
We need to talk about those guys. What? Jimmy Ryan? Yeah.
Jimmy, Joe, and Brian.
And Brian, right. Jimmy was at my table at the eBay dinner. Thank you for that. I got to meet him.
You're very welcome. He's awesome.
And so I'm going to be going to the East Coast National Show in White Plains this weekend, bringing Ian, and I hope to meet Sean Kemp. So it's exactly what you're talking about, right? Like, we're going to go there and, you know, we'll do some cards, we'll buy some stuff, maybe bring some stuff to trade, you know, maybe make some deals. But I also do want to, you know, say hi to Sean Kemp, get an autograph, you know, get a little signed card. Ian's got his jersey. Maybe I'll get him to sign the jersey. That'd be kind of cool. You know, Ian will wear the jersey.
No? I said, Dean, I remember him standing right by Doc Gooden 2 years ago at the East Coast National. 11 people around him just flinging cards out of his Zion case. $50, $80, $150, $350. He made more money than I did. He actually, I mean this. He might have made more money selling cards himself than I have so far in that one sitting.
Well, he found the table. There was just an empty table in the corner. He just put his case on it and pretended he was like a dealer. He was just setting up and selling cards. But listen, we have fun. But I your point I love. I'm going to pivot, all right? Because we do. You and I, we get together, we get on a tangent. You That's were why there.
First ever pen and pad. Jewel. Jewel, not weed. Pad. Pen. No.
So anyway, you were there in a business capacity. You started a business, right? Tell folks. Yeah. Well, maybe you started three businesses. I saw, you know, Wax Stars. I saw Marino and Company. I saw like David's Angels. That was the one with the naked pictures. I saw like all kinds of stuff. No,
Well, Marino and Co. is a nod to our dads.
Nice.
Right? People don't know this, but our dads knew each other back in the day.
Yep.
So Marino & Co. is my dad's old business on the floor. So that's kind of...
Both our dads worked at the New York Stock Exchange, folks. It's a fun little, you know, it's a very small world.
Small world.
When you have those conversations, you're like, all right, let's talk. What'd your dad... Oh, my dad... Oh, my God, they know each other. It's pretty crazy. But yeah. Tell us about the business, man. Wax Stars, because I want to get to a story of how it's relevant to me. But let's hear what the business is. Tell folks what you were there doing. You know, take a couple of minutes and kind of, you know, explain this new venture you have.
You are putting me on the spot. Yeah. So, you know, post collectible, post mint, you know, I'm kind of sitting around thinking, all right, what are we going to do? You know, in the lead up for about a year, I've been talking to a bunch of different people about, you know, building a business around existing hobby businesses. So my business exists to support in a consultancy, outsource biz dev, just generally, you know, coming up with ideas that are going to drive revenue. Whether, you know, the main focus is going to be local card shops and dealers and kind of working with, you know, people that don't necessarily, you know, have the time or capacity to create new revenue streams. So that's one. But frankly, you know, again, it's primarily about building community. So, you know, Wax Stars is a fun business that I'm creating to live on eBay. You know, we'll see that grow. But mostly it's you know, to create, you know, different type of auctions, you know, different selling tools for local card shops to sell through eBay. You know, build community. I mean, I'm doing a lot of work with eBay and other brands to continue cocktails and cards, other fun events, and frankly, do what I do best, which is putting people together. So, you know, I think I've built a fairly good reputation for myself of being a connector for others and not asking for much in return. And that's what I'm looking to keep on going with.
I love it. So if I were to give the 30-second kind of summary, my, you know, my elevator pitch to folks out there who are, you know, thinking about, you know, wax stars, it's sort of a hobby aggregator, right? I mean, I think it's a little more than a consigning company, right? Because if you think about, you know, you think about PWCC, Gold, and you think about these guys, they have, you know, eyeballs. I would say eBay has more. And what PWCC and Golden have done is, you know, they have these premier auctions. They have these auctions that are, you know, once a month. And they've also attempted to kind of, you know, drop down and have those weekly auctions that are more attainable cards. You know, the I don't call them the everyday cards, but the ones that don't meet the value threshold of sort of those vintage, those premier type auctions. It's difficult for them to compete with eBay there. eBay just has a lot of eyeballs, a lot of stuff. But what eBay doesn't have or didn't have, and I think it's one of the avenues that Wax Stars is working with eBay, is eBay didn't have that premier auction, that hobby-focused, we're going to just have X number of items that are going to be curated, that are going to have detailed pictures and write-ups and, you know, real attention to them. The way that sort of, you know, you get that Heritage book in the mail, you get that Robert Edwards book in the mail, and it's boom, you get to leaf through it, right? And eBay saw that that's an area that they could play in also, because they get a lot of eyeballs. And you were one of a few, we call them hobby aggregators, you were consigners involved, you name it, who were, you know, who were asked to put together and curate cards for them in this, what they call it, a marquee auction, right?
Marquee auction. I think that frankly, you know, if you think about eBay 2.5 or 3 years ago, there was no human face to eBay. eBay's done a fantastic job, frankly, whether it's, you know, their team members actually working with their sellers, and some of the top sellers of, you know, of mention on eBay, you know, I know really well. They're great people, and they do a tremendous business, right? Quietly. Like, it's not, you know, thrown in your face. Like, these are good people that, you know, frankly, are aggregating a lot of sales. And, you know, I think that their thought process here was, let's begin to do something with a little bit, you know, more of a highlight. Let's highlight our sellers. Let's work with our sellers. Let's work with the community. And listen, like a lot of this is just conjecture, right? Like, I don't know. I've never been behind the scenes in a lot of these meetings, but I could tell you that, you know, to touch on our earlier part of our conversation, this is where I ramble, you know, we spoke about, you know, the bigger corporates doing more to touch the community, right? To actually, like, to me, marquee auctions is an example of, you know, eBay putting their marketing dollars to work, you know, putting their tools, their teams, their creatives, their social media to, you know, effectuate better sales and to work with sellers, work with their clients, and create, you know, better outcomes. You know, so that's on the eBay side. But I mean, frankly, on the selling side, but look at Trade Nights Across America, you know, very quietly, I think they've done 5 or 6 of them so far, you know? So like, we talk about Fanatics, we talk about all of these companies that, you know, have really made a forward facing or in the spotlight stance, but, you know, it's the companies that are doing things behind the scenes to support their, you know, sellers and their customers, the GTSs of the world, the Southern Hobbies of the world, the eBays of the world. eBay does it in your face too, by all means, but they do a lot behind the scenes as well.
I'll give you eBay credit. I wonder if this is your idea. I wonder if you were the one who told them to do this, but I had quite a few dinners. I'm not going to complain about my first dinner at Morton's. I was couple feet away from.
It was a pretty cool dinner.
That was awesome. But then the eBay dinner.
Thanks for the invite, Zabla.
I mean, you know, you can only invite so many people. But breaking news, we are going to be giving away a Derek Jeter signed ball this month. So that's you exciting. Can still win that, even though you didn't.
I don't want to win that.
I could try to personalize it. Sorry I missed you at dinner, Dave.
Thanks for rooting against me in Game 6 because you had Game 7
Forget
tickets,
now you, Marino. Now you can't leave. Now you can't win. You're disqualified from the ball.
Side note, you know I was supposed to be Colosero in a Bronx Tale.
You were supposed to be Colosero.
I was supposed to be Colosero in a Bronx Tale.
I mean, I'd like to call BS, but go right ahead. I mean, did you actually cast for it, or you just in your brain, your mom told you, you would have been better at this, David?
No. First of all, that's an uncanny imitation of my mother.
I want to say I know her.
I casted for it. I got very, very close. I was told I had it, and then it went to somebody else.
Man, see, you would have been Calogero.
I would have been chased
that guy for the $20.
Yeah.
So you're done with him.
Now I'm chasing cards for 15.
I mean, Christopher Bevilacqua, right? He wound up getting in trouble, that actor who played Calogero, I think. So anyway.
Back to it.
Back to the eBay, my flowers for the eBay.
Yes.
They had eBay employees at each table to have conversations with the folks who were there about what eBay's doing, about where eBay's headed, about what the collectors, the sellers, the eBay, what you'd like to see. That's a cool thing. Like, they actually interspersed there. I mean, I was at a dinner before that where, like, I had to kind of carry the conversation. I know that's hard for me to do, but, you know, I mean, that's smart. You know, I mean, we talk about this all the time with, like, hobby folks, right? We talk about, like, are they really good for the hobby? Or are they just coming in to squeeze the money out? Well, here they are sitting there, like, listening. They want to hear your feedback. That was a cool thing. Is that your idea?
No, it wasn't. But you know, it's emblematic of what they've been doing, right? And again, it was a great partnership to work with eBay over the National. It was a great partnership to work with a lot of the other brands that we work with all the time. But at the end of the day, I think that it's about putting a human face on these brands. You know, it's about the personal touch. That's what people are going to remember. It's the personal phone calls. I mean, truly, this is a high touch business, like any other sales business, right? Real estate, stock brokerage, sports cards. You know, get on the phone, build a relationship, maintain those relationships, treat your clients with respect. A lot of other companies are doing that as well, and you know, like you could give flowers to a lot of companies. You know, there was a lot of companies that did, you know, public.
I didn't ask you who you're giving flowers to yet. Don't skip ahead.
I'm giving flowers to anyone that actually held a conversation with me at the National and you, because you and I just ramble. So flowers to everyone that was forced to speak to us.
We might as well. 22 minutes in, let's talk about the flowers. Okay. I get to cheat this out. I'm gonna ask you who you get, and some people have given three flowers. Some people, I told them just give the flowers to yourself. I mean, I'm going to go here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the flowers. It's the cheap and easy way out, but not for what you think. Not because you get everybody together and because you're a hobby aggregator or more ways than one, because you do cocktails and cards and because you have all this other stuff that you're doing and you also aggregate cards for eBay and all. No. The most fun I had at the National, maybe it's a tie. I got to hang out with Derek Jeter, so that's difficult, right? Thank you, Arena Club. But, I got to break packs with kids at your booth. That was awesome. I mean, I didn't really break them. I was kind of handing them out, and they were opening. And one kid pulled, it was like the Topps, you know, the anniversary set. One kid pulled like a Babe Ruth blue, you know, border parallel. It was a really cool card. I was trying to like,
Did you walk it over and grade it?
I was trying to like buy it from him. He wouldn't give it up. But that was cool. I mean, I don't know what it was. I don't know what kind of partnership. I don't know, you know, eBay or what your deal was with these guys. But it was like, Cage, come on over. Kids walk by. You're just going to give them packs. You're going to open them up. And the kids were thrilled. They brought their mother over, brother, sister. You know, here you go. Open some packs up. And, I mean, the boxes just kept coming. It was like, here you go. Open another box. Okay, open these. You want soccer? They'll find some soccer for you. You want to open up baseball? Like, that was really cool because – listen, I walk around the show and just give slabs out to people. It's what I've done for three Nationals. I gave out more Mookie Betts 2013 Prism PSA 9s than I know what to do with, right? And this time I was giving around Arena Club stuff, giving out Derek Jeter's to, you know, to kids and stuff. But you made it easy for me to do that. Like, that to me is fun. And, you know, I talked to a bunch of people on the show. I took up, you know, one, for example, right? Robert Edward Auctions, right? And we're recording this after their auction ended. I had them on before. They just had an auction end on the 13th. And it was a record for them. Not only did it sell $15 million worth of cards, but they had two items end for over $1 million. Two. That's the first time in their auction history they did that. It was a Ruth bat and this cool Doyle T206 with like the Nationals, National League written on it, even though he's an American League player, played for the Highlanders. Anyway, point being, what he said was when they set up, the kids matter, right? The people who come into the booth and look at the cards matter because while they might not be buying a Mickey Mantle now, those kids are learning about the hobby. Those kids, some of them are going to stay in the hobby and some of them are going to grow up and buy with them. Some of them are going to be. And so that's kind of the role that they have there. I like to believe that you were able to give some free cards, a pack opening experience and some fun, maybe a smile to a kid or six who are going to stay in the hobby and be here in 10, 15, 20 years. So thank you. Flowers to you. Your turn.
I love you. No, I agree with that. And by the way, let's give some flowers, right? Let's not forget that, you know, was something made possible because of bullpen, because of game day, because of blowout, because of all sports marketing, right? Because of piece of the game. Like my point is that
they gave you wax to open. These are all people who supplied it.
The wax was supplied. You know, we did the repacks. I did the repacks out of my personal collection. So like that was cool. That was fun and tedious to call it, but we did it, right? Everyone supported. I mean, you know, eBay built, you know, the VR monolith at the booth. That was insane. You know, Kelly there had his socials with that scavenger hunt, right? Like that was like a well thought through idea that worked. People loved it. You know, I mean, I didn't make him over there much, but you know, the actual eBay booth was insane.
Yep.
You know, eBay Live, the way that was programmed. I mean, my wife and Chetna were chasing Dan Marino, trying to get him to wear a Marino and Co hat. And I was going to put who wore it better, me, quarter pounder, him, quarterback.
I mean, listen, but I still have yet to see you and Dan Marino in the same room. I think you're actually the same person.
Yeah, no, that's what fuels my hobby, all those touchdown passes I threw. flowers. I mean, there's a lot. You know, first off the bat, I'd probably say, you know, not to talk up one of your favorites, but Arena Club did a really impressive job, soup to nuts through and through. I think that their booth looked great. I think that Zablo and Jesse really like put a lot of thought into it, curated a great dinner. There was, you know, touch points, giveaways, you know, people were active there. Let's just go grading companies quickly. Beckett came out of nowhere. I mean, that line at that booth.
It was long.
It was a lot of long. People. It was professional. It was, you know, run through SGC, I heard. You know, first of all, their booth looked great. But second of all, they had a record number of cards taken at a national, I think. The Fanatics booth, I mean, that was wild. And if you think about it, think about 2021, the national, that corporate section. That Fanatics booth was half the corporate section, half the old corporate section.
Yep.
And the lines were insane. You know, I think the card ladder booth in the Breakers Pavilion was really cool. They were just holding court. That was like a fun community, like hangout type moment. And they manned the booth the whole time from what I saw, one of them, two of them, which is a feat if you know. You know, card ladder at shows. Who else? I mean, you have to not, you know,
that booth sponsored by Clubhouse.
Yeah. I'm not a whatnot person.
Live Clubhouse.
I'm not a whatnot person. I like whatnot. I like people at work there. I don't break on whatnot. I just don't break. But that promotion was very cool. You know, like the second level, the second order thinking there, you know, from the lead-in commercials to the giveaways, you know, Jordan's car, all of that. Remember, that was like a really.
Did you
really
see the cool little dude who did the Kevin McAllister? He was like this, ah, in the video.
It was Ian.
That was Ian.
No,
yep,
really.
Go on the whatnot page and check out their video. And you know, it's a throwback. A throwback to like iconic scenes in the 90s. And they had the little, you know, like Kevin McAllister is doing, like he's in the bed. Ah!
That's cool.
That's Ian. Ian's in the video.
I'll give you one that people probably haven't said. Let's talk about the companies that support the hobby, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Zion cases.
Yep.
Yeah, you want to talk about the monster truck in the back filled with Zion cases. Forget what they sold through. How about the hundreds of cases that they brought to the show for giveaways to support brands, not just us, everyone. You know, Dan from Stand Up Displays, you know, I think he had a monster load in with stands and displays, like getting that through. Listen, like everybody, you know, here's the cool thing. And somebody asked me, somebody asked me this question earlier today, and you know, I didn't get time to think about it, and I probably should have. I was put on the spot, though. I wasn't expecting to have that conversation, and he asked me, you know, what I think my contribution to the hobby is, and you know, where I'd like to see myself, you know, down the road. What's on my hobby tombstone? And I think that, you know,
it's not an easy one to answer, man.
I think that the hobby was trending in the direction we're at now, right? Zablo saw it. I saw it. I'm sure, you know, Gary V's of the world, a lot of people saw it, right? But the hobby came together and kind of put it in motion, right? Like it was time to level up, and then you level up, and then you level up, and then you level up. And I truly think that, you know, it started at Mint, for better or worse, right? Because some people hate this aspect of the hobby. I get it. But for me, I think, you know, that if you look at the foot forward that everyone put, right? Look at the Panini party, right? How about, you know, like Panini's party was great. They actually let outsiders in that didn't buy the packages, which was awesome. You know, those performances were cool. But I think that everyone put their best foot forward. Southern had a great event. Whatnot had a great event. You know, there was awesome dinners. I was invited to a dinner that I never would have been invited to with some like really, really interesting collectors. And that was a highlight for me. You know, I it was interesting to hear their perspective from a vintage side and also, you know, the higher end side that I don't particularly normally deal in. And, you know, frankly,
what'd you learn? I was about to say
it was a different conversation than I expected it to be, right? I expected the conversation to, you know, be very much about, you know, cards, what's available, who has what, whatever. It's the same. Like this is an interesting point. The National is about people coming together. It's the same type of interaction. It's the same connectivity. And I overuse that word, but it's important to me, right? Like it was a great dinner of people that have a mutual love of cards, right? That want to get together once a year and appreciate what they love. And the same thing that brought people to cocktails and cards, same people that brought to that dinner, to Arena Club's dinner, to all the other dinners, right? Like it's about the passion, and it's about people coming together to celebrate cards. And frankly, do I think the Fanatics show is going to be awesome? Yeah, it's going to be awesome, right? Like they're going to put together something that is out of this world, and it's going to be the next level. It's going to be the new normal. But the National next year, I think, is going to be awesome. And oh, yeah. I think, frankly, you know, people discount Cleveland, and I'm not shilling for the Nationals. Frankly, nobody has to. Right.
Well, you tell me where I'm supposed to stay. That's where I'm going to get to.
Well, so I think I'm going to stay
because
downtown.
I'm not going to get invited to the Flight House or whatever this is called, because I'm clearly not cool enough to be in the
I'll sponsor. That is my cage payback. That is the cage payback. I'm going to call Talon.
Yeah, oh,
and,
no.
And I'm,
put,
and I'm paying. I'm paying no, for man. You. I'm paying for you to spend a week in that house. 100%.
I'll stay next door.
No, I think
next door. I would listen if they're gonna do that. You got to rent the house next door, put me in there with like Mitch from Bullpen LA and like the anti influencer crowd. We'll have fun with that.
Let's talk about the fact that we had an awesome time at the Renaissance overlooking the highway.
Yeah,
Steph actually enjoyed it. I think that she is like sneakily becoming a hobby purist.
Good.
She's sitting, I swear to God. She's actually scanning PSA cards for me here and there, and writing pops and surprising me with like pop counts on the backs of cards.
That's amazing. So it's, I got a couple questions, right? Just to keep me on my National Treasures track. We started talking about it. You're excited for Cleveland, which is good. So it leads me right into the National Treasures questions. You gave a lot of flowers. Good for you. And by the way, if he left you out, he didn't mean to. He really wanted to just give flowers to everybody, but a lot of people work with him. You know what I mean? Anybody, did you put enough kind of like exclamation points on it?
It's not about the people that I worked with. I mean, frankly, I named a lot of people that I didn't. I think you know, the meaning of that rant was truly, and I probably could have said it in 2 seconds, the hobby comes together at the National and makes the National something great, right? So, frankly, everyone putting their foot forward is what makes me positive on the hobby going forward. If people were pumping the brakes, I'd be worried.
To Chicago, where it was, a couple years ago, you did Atlantic City, you got this one. Give me something that you liked, maybe something you thought was an improvement this time, something maybe that you'd like to see changed or updated when we head into Cleveland, something you think will be better in Cleveland. Maybe an idea, when you were walking around the show and you thought to yourself, all right, you know what? They should do this. Got any?
Yeah. Listen, I think that there's the natural knocks, right? The skilled showrunners, roll with the punches, right? You have to expect the unexpected. I think that, it was hot. It was, ungodly hot. We all know why it was hot, right? You can't blame the showrunners for a building mechanical issue. And frankly, it was an issue that we didn't have an AC because the Atlantic City Convention Center was new and it was a great space, but so was Rosemont. But I think that, they rebounded and, the following day it was better. And then the following day it was much better. And, the following 2 days, had bigger crowds. So that was a good course correction. And I'm happy that they did that. I think if you saw the layout of the floor, it makes a lot more sense. Right. I think that, this expanded space, I'm not going to blame, Dan and John Brogy, but I think that it was a great idea. I think it added like an interesting dynamic, but if you look at the floor plan for Cleveland, it's really well thought out, it seems. I think it's smaller a little bit, but it looks like a really, really great expo center or convention center. So I'm looking forward to that. Frankly, I think the food scene in Cleveland is infinitely better. It's been on my list to go do a dining tour in Cleveland. So, I think we'll have better food and better nights out and entertainment.
Are you going to be in charge of that? You're the hobby social chair.
It's so funny. I created a company called Social Chair a couple of years ago. It did nothing with it. Maybe I'm going
to
bring it
back. It's time to resurrect it. I know somebody who might be able to be like the COO.
It'd be great. Just lawyer, tap, and ops guy all in one. I need that. You're the function to my dysfunction.
What's funny is I live in New York, but not near enough to Cooperstown that I've ever been to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm going to be in Cleveland because I'm going to the – it's like an hour to Canton, right? I mean, it's not that far. I could do the Football Hall of Fame on there, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's something, maybe like a little event.
Maybe we bring the Hall of Fame to the National. That could be cool.
So you're always thinking. Look at you. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, maybe mix in a little non-sport, harder rock and rolls in Cleveland.
Yeah, a little Charizard with a guitar. Shreds are no, it's not funny.
No, air guitar. A little no Bill and Ted, Wild Stallions, San Dimas High School Football Rules. No,
are we gonna do that for Halloween?
That would be awesome.
The Bleecker Trade Night Halloween Bill event.
That would be great. I would love that. All right, so Cleveland's gonna be fun. You have no reservations about that. You think it's gonna be it's gonna be awesome. That's great. Talk to me about the show itself. Did you have any time to kind of shop, to kind of look around, to add anything, to open something, to break something for yourself? You got any cool stories of that just for the hobby purists who have made it through 40 minutes with you? No?
Yeah.
What do you do? Come on.
I think day one I walked up to fish and I got a massive. You saw it, dude. I had a wagon.
In the next 24 hours, there's going to be like 1,500 people who hear and watch this who didn't see. So this is the part where you tell the story.
What were the hits? What were my big hits? I hit the Jordan Walker out of 5 last week at Alex's MVP. By the way, go to Alex's MVP. I've been going there 30 plus years. It's amazing. Flowers to Alex's MVP for supporting my addiction since childhood. I ripped a bunch of cases of Topps Chrome 2023. That was fun.
Did you save all the Ohtanis and Acuñas?
Ohtanis, Acuñas. I was forward looking. Saved some Freddie Freeman.
Olsen's playing. He's good. Got a shot, the Vegas odds are saying Acuña. Like
it's going to be Acuña. The league needs it to be Acuña and Ohtani, right? You need to have two monsters. But broke a lot of soccer. I created a lot of cards with DCI. Got some nice ones. Went to PSA. Got some nice hands. I'll do the reveal. I dropped off 500 cards at Arena Club.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. You're not going to have Merino packs, but I'm going to be doing repacks at every show and giveaways, not with Arena Club cards, but just in general. There's going to be 8s and 9s from every grading company that are going to be stopping those things. What was my pickup of the National? I picked up a really cool Bo Jackson out of 50.
Ooh.
I'm excited about. I hit a monster Corbin Carroll out of 35 in the Topps packs. And if you know me, the whole reason for my existence at the National is to rip Topps packs and I get no love. I hit the Wembanyama silver out of the Panini packs.
Wow.
And sold it because I don't believe in Wembanyama.
Me neither.
Not a basketball guy, but that guy's, Sean Bradley 4.0.
There's hype. There's some crazy hype. And his prices will probably go up. His prices, with the pro uniform stuff will probably go up, as the season approaches. But just like a lot of the quarterback stuff is going up. I made the mistake of selling my Jordan Love stuff, last year when he didn't get to play. I wish I held it.
I've got monster Jordan Love stuff. But here's the thing, right? And Ezra likes to make a joke that I don't have a nose for investing in sports cards, right? Because every single sports card investment I've ever made was about as useful as
no way, man. You called that laundry tag. That was a winner.
You're an asshole. I love you. You're an asshole. See, the difference is you forget I don't pull punches. I'll call you an asshole when you're being an asshole.
It's all right. You're allowed. When I am behaving as such, you're allowed. Yeah. You call them
by the way, it's also the reason. It's also the reason that you can't claim that collectible and inside shenanigans going on because plus a shitload of money.
Yeah. I wish the insiders, but everybody else.
That Mahomes card killed me. That was dumb. Anyway,
so you don't have a nose for this, but Jordan Love was one of your picks.
But the beautiful thing about I love Jordan Love. Because I just go by gut, right? So they kept Aaron Rodgers around, behind Favre until they thought he was ready. Got rid of Favre when they knew Rodgers was ready. I'd like to think that it's going to work twice and that Jordan Love will become a guy, right? Like if I'm going to make a bet, and trust me, you don't want to follow my advice, and this is not hobby pick'em advice because – you don't want to follow my advice when it comes to card picks.
Now I give you some advice.
What?
Sell every more wax? Jordan Love card you have this week.
100%. And I know where that's coming from. I get it. Done. How about this? I'm going to sell everything. No, I'm not. But I'm going to sell. I'm going to start selling a lot. Not because I don't believe in the hobby, but because I just want my money back.
I get it. But Jordan Love.
I need to refill the coffers. The cool thing is like I like basketball. I'll go to Knicks games, but I'm not like a diehard basketball person. So, you know, like 90s basketball, diehard. I was a 90s basketball diehard fan. It just kind of lost it for me, you know, frankly, like 06 on, whatever. The cool thing about not owning real basketball cards is nobody can accuse me of being a dick when I say Wembanyama's not the guy. It's just not happening. Like he was getting bodied by people in the European League. Like you see those clips. Like how is he going to go up? And like, can you imagine him going up against like Kendrick Perkins, you know, 10 years ago? Like he doesn't have the body.
The thing is, the hope for people who are buying him is that you look at Giannis as sort of the model, right? And he came in a lot smaller, and he worked hard, and he built himself up, and, you know, he got bigger. And if Wembanyama can add some size, he's already – his game is so far ahead of where Giannis was when he came in the league that if he adds some size and is able to kind of, you know, withstand the beating, you know, that the daily grind of basketball, that he could be something special. I get it. I understand the, you know, the thesis there.
But hold on a second. So I get it. So the argument is if he can handle the physicality, right? So we're going to apply an if he's physically ready. That's an agreed upon if. And this is an honest question because I don't know the answer by any means. Like, how's his basketball IQ? Like, does he make smart on-court decisions? People have said it's great.
But, I mean, listen, this is the thing, right? You hear this once-in-a-generation stuff about somebody like him, but people forget those once-in-a-generations. First of all, the last
Zion Williamson.
Yes, there's your thing. Zion was supposed to be once-in-a-generation also. Wow. We said Zion, and all the big Zion investors came in and zapped his power and said, that's it. He's not allowed to say anything bad about Zion. You went for it, man. You went for Wembanyama. They let you go with that. Then you went for Zion. Next, if you start saying things like LeBron doesn't make his teammates better, you start doing stuff like that, forget it. They come for you, and they knock you right off the stream. That's what happens to Marino. You know, they just knock him right out of the stream. It's all right. You know what happens, man.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you just fine, and you know, I can see you. So listen, this has been like twice the length of my.
I can't hear you.
But you can't hear me. Well, that sucks. I was going to ask you one last question.
I can't hear you.
Can't hear me. I know. Don't worry. I'm gonna wrap it up here for you. And I am going to. I'll see if you can hear me now. I don't know. If you can't hear me, you're going to test it. I'm going to ask you one more question. He's going to come back in. Guys, I apologize for that. He's going to come back in. Can you hear me now?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear Jimmy?
I can't hear you.
Okay, look at your phone. I'm going to ask you one last question. Look at your phone.
Can't hear you.
Look at your phone. This guy. All right, listen, we're going to wrap it up here. I feel bad for this poor guy. I don't know if you can hear me.
I think. So obviously, yeah, I see it. So I think one last takeaway from the National.
There we go. One last takeaway.
We're good. Thank God for text messages and teleconnectivity.
That's it. Give me one last takeaway from the National.
Yeah, listen, I'm optimistic. I think that the hobby's in a good place. You know, I think realistically, if in an environment that we've had today, you know, like obviously different collectors have you know, different varying degrees of this downturn. But, you know, if the socialization, if people are traveling to shows at record numbers, if, you know, you still see significant investment coming in, like, I'm really bullish. I'm really bullish on the industry coming in. I'm excited to see what Fanatics is going to do. I'm excited to see what eBay, what Panini, what are these companies going to continue to do to make the hobby better, right? I think that they're proving they're going to reinvest in. I personally want to see that continued reinvestment, you know, touch the collectors and touch, you know, building a broader community. And, you know, supporting shows and supporting events. So, you know, listen, if we can, you know, have a national, you know, even 20% less the size of this year, next year, it's a huge win. You know, like as a community, we just need to start like celebrating the wins. Like this national was a win. You know, let's start walking towards next year.
I love it. This is why this guy's a national treasure. We love you, Marino. Thank you.
Thank you.